They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Radio Fairfax, joining me today, we have one of my favorite people in the whole wide world, Dr. Gary Solomon. Gary, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for giving me the privilege to be back on the show.
Gary, you've got some websites and you've got all kinds of things out there, and you are an expert witness. And you understand probably more than anyone in this country what is happening to people emotionally in HOAs from, you've written papers, the HOA syndrome, elder abuse, all the health issues, crisis in America. And you're an expert witness out there, and you are willing to help testify and rectify things. And one of your goals is to make sure that people, that there are some damages that are paid out to people who get sick.
Yes.
In HOAs. Sure. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, what we have here is HOA syndrome is really rooted in post-traumatic stress disorder. We have a population of people, a large population of people, who have been put under an enormous amount of stress due to the actions of their HOA. What I'm looking for is I'm trying to get people to do the necessary court work so that they can get the diagnosis of HOA syndrome, post-traumatic stress disorder, and in turn, the issue damages. Now, this becomes a little better when you look at the age of the individual, because if the individual is over the age of 62, then it's double damages because it's elder abuse.
Oh, okay. You're talking about 62 plus, then it becomes elder abuse. What about when you've got children? I heard from a homeowner who's been battling her HOA for a long time, and she was absolutely devastated because it's a small, I think it's a small community, and everyone knows everything about everyone. And her 10-year-old son invited his entire class plus the teacher for a barbecue, a spring barbecue. Nobody RSVP'd, nobody showed up, including the teacher, which is bad manners and a terrible example to set. But the kid was devastated, and she's convinced that the reason for that is the HOA issues.
Right. Well, it's certainly possible. There's no way for me to know at this time that that's the case, but it's certainly possible that something like that would take place.
So when you say elder abuse, what are we doing to the, I mean, I'm always, as you know, I'm always worried and concerned about what we're doing to the kids, but we have tangible proof that the kids are suffering because of the abuses in HOAs.
Correct.
So we've been rolling over like a bunch of sheep for many years, and we just accept things. At what point are we going to get, I mean, we've got four layers of government, Gary, the federal government, state government, local government, and then the HOA. I think what we're seeing at the federal level is a pushback
on a lot of things that have been happening in both parties during the primary. Do you think that's going to come down to where we are now in the HOAs? Do you think people are going to get fed up and say, all right, we're pushing back now?
I hate to sound pessimistic, and you've known me for years now, and I certainly have begun optimistically with we will resolve this problem. But I must say, Shu, that I'm skeptical because there is just so much money involved. There are people that are making literally a fortune.
Right.
Organizations that are making a fortune off the back of the homeowner. And in turn, and we've discussed this, the federal government is saving a fortune with what's going on with the homeowners. And although it's us doing it to us, I don't believe anybody wants to step forward and say, stop doing it.
But what we're seeing at the federal level in the campaign, in the primaries right now, is the two front runners on both sides, both political parties, the people who seem to be winning and seem to be building a grassroots movement in terms of the number of votes that they're getting, are not the establishment sweethearts. If you look on the Democratic side, you've got Bernie Sanders, who is sending out daily emails asking for $3 or $2.70, and he has amassed millions of dollars. Yet it's the special interests, the super PACs, the establishment who wants to push Hillary forward. Same thing on the Republican side. You had 17 candidates. I mean, it looked like a three-ring circus. And the front runner has been someone who the establishment absolutely hates because they can't control them.
Yes, that's true.
And yet you've got people who are voting for them and pushing back against both parties.
Yes, that's true, too. It's not my intent to sound overly pessimistic. But I do believe we've reached a point in history, and this isn't the first time, we've been in this position many times before in the world, where wealth has consumed an entire nation. And with that, there is no interest whatsoever in being concerned about the local working class. And therefore, these political ears and eyes may say that they're going to do something, but there's no support in that. And I don't see a way out of it unless the federal government steps forward and says, we're pulling the plug. And they've done it before. It's not that they can't do it. They've done it many times. But this one's got too much money in.
We're pulling the plug on HOAs.
Yes. Yes.
I don't think the federal government's going to do that simply because they've taken the hands-off position saying, hey, wait a minute, this is a contractual obligation and you have a duty to stand, you know, to stick to your side of it and you shouldn't have gone into it. I mean, they've got this tied up legally. So,
Yep. You
know, in all sorts of ways.
I agree completely.
I'm not
well orchestrated and well tied up.
Yeah. I'm not thinking that the federal government's going to do it. I don't think they will. I'm looking at the people. I want to empower the people. I want the people to push back because they're the ones who are suffering. I'm tired of them being bullied, and that's exactly what it is. It's being bullied by the federal government, the state government, the local government, their HOA, and the special interests.
I'm sorry. Let me say something here. And we've talked many times, and I've told you what I believe to be the solution is, but I can tell you also what an enormous problem is. when it comes time to stop this for the individual, it's too late because they're too sick. How do you tell someone that's pinned in a car in a car wreck hanging over the edge of the mountain, listen, don't take that road? It's too late. It's simply too late. The people that I've listened to over the years, the people you've listened to over the years, are so sick that they don't have any strength to defend themselves. And the HOAs, the federal government, the state government, they all know it. They're very aware that there is no muscle. And if you want to run a test on that, how many times have people called you and said, can you refer me to an attorney who will take my case as a homeowner? And the answer is no.
Actually, the attorneys, the list of attorneys who will represent homeowners and only homeowners is growing. They have discovered that the lie that has, I mean, there's so many lies involved in this, and that's the only way they can control it. The lie that there is no money in it is just that. It's a lie. You have so many attorneys whose practices are limited to representing homeowners, and they're busier than they've ever been.
But they're thrilled to hear it. I'm thrilled. This is where you have your hand on the pulse of America with the people that are contacting you. I don't. So I'm not seeing this, but it's great news.
But I can count them on the fingers of one hand. So it's not like there are that many of them out there. But the thing is, they're building practices, and these practices are growing and doing extremely well.
Yeah.
But again, like I said, there are far too few of them.
Yes.
But they're making money.
Yes, the people that won't need the help don't necessarily have the money.
No.
People that need the help also need medical treatment.
Yes.
Need care.
Yes.
And the attorneys can't do that.
No.
And they don't have the time and patience for it.
No, you're right. You're right there. It's the medical establishment, I think, is going to have to start recognizing your work, because you're the one who first sounded the trumpet on this, and you're the one, you've written a number of papers, you've written, it says 18 books here, probably the best book ever is your HOA Crisis in America, which is online.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
That's just the most creative and the most brilliant book.
And I appreciate it for those words.
But it also lays it out there very, very clearly. And again, I mean, go on.
I guess it would be wonderful to get to the point where it would be a requirement that they read the book and they take a test before they sign the documents, just like a driver's exam. And getting people to believe that this is as big as it is so difficult that I will explain to people before they buy the house, look, just look at the book. You don't have to read it. You can just look at it visually. No, I don't need to do that. It was interesting. I was listening to a program about the instruction that we're all given when we sign contracts for MasterCard, Visa, a product that we buy. And the question is, how many people read these cards? And the answer is
no one.
No one.
Yeah. You have no option. I mean, if you need the card, you have to take it. And quite often, buried in the fine print is a requirement for ADR, which means that even if you do go to court, you're screwed because the other party is going to get to, it's going to dominate in alternate dispute resolution. So you're kind of screwed there.
Yes. And I just feel that it's to the point where unless the government steps in, we're not going to be able to get enough people to do this soon enough to be able to help or save these people's lives. And we're not the only country that's in this dilemma.
We're exporting this. You offer yourself as an expert witness to all the attorneys out there who are representing homeowners. First of all, how often do you get taken up on that offer?
Rarely. Okay. And it's again the money.
Well, let's put that out there and make sure that we focus on that a little bit more.
No matter what I do, I give my time and my work up for free. I've never charged a dime. Never. Yet, people remain unable to do the follow-through because it's too late. The individual or individuals have become too ill. And this may sound a bit dramatic, but I'll give it a shot. You know, a lousy time to treat Ebola is when you've got it. A lousy time to solve the problem for these medical conditions is when you've got it. This is preventive medicine, and this is preventive care that needs to take place. And I go back to the basics of the dollar. It is simply too profitable to want to stop anybody from doing this. And what's a few lives? Why does it matter? So there's a divorce. So the homes are broken. So they can't pay the bill. But there's a lot of people that are paying their bills because these people are supplying the money. I've also said to you in the past, Shu, the enormous amount of pleasure that people are getting from doing this to other human beings is very difficult for people to calculate. The example that I give is the individual with obsessive compulsive disorder. Now look, we all got a little bit of that, but there are some people that have got it so bad that they drive down the street in their neighborhood, they see a car in the driveway, and next thing you know, there's a fine and a letter in the mail. Because that car is screaming at them.
So they're literally sick. So they're the ones who are sick then.
When I originally wrote this, I called this a two-tailed psychiatric disorder. And I don't know that anybody had ever used that terminology before. But this disorder comes for the homeowner when the individual with the HOA also displays their illness. So they use their power to control their illness, which in turn creates the illness in the homeowner. It's a two-tailed psychiatric disorder. It does not go one way. Let me try a radical example. This could be offensive to some people, but let me give it a shot. You know, I have often studied the prisoner of war camps in the Second World War. And I have listened to the history and watched the history of those prisoner of war camps. Now, there's one individual during the Second World War that orchestrated that. That was Hitler, and then he had his five henchmen. They, in turn, disseminated the information. But who were these people that followed through with the orders? Who were the people that tortured these other people? Who were the people that starved them? Who were the people that did this to these families? And many people after the war that were released from these prisoners of war camp went back home to get their possessions, and they were killed. Because the people that now owned those possessions or had control of them did not want to give them up now. So they left the war camps, and then they went home and were murdered. What's that got to do with HOA? Well, the point is that the HOA operates the same way. The HOA is doing all of these things. And they're allowing people's morbidity, their illness, their disease to drive them. All we have to do is sit back and let it happen.
You know, I'm half Armenian, and of course there was the Armenian massacres early on in the 20th century, and Hitler actually used those massacres as an excuse to go on with what he did to the Jews, because he said, after all, who remembers the Armenians?
Right.
So
right.
When you have something that's that sick, and it serves as an example for someone else to come in and just get away with it also, or to repeat it, there's something really wrong with that.
Yes, Sue, there is. And I'm going to ask you to default to the illness. That's what's wrong. In logical thinking, in a logical world, we would process through this and say, it's wrong, to quote Shu, it's wrong. So if it's wrong, why can't you stop? And the answer is, they're sick. The people are sick, and they can't stop it. In the same way that a drug, habituated drug user, can't stop. They know it's wrong, but they can't stop. Who has the disadvantage of that? Well, the homeowner, who's being robbed to pay for the drugs of the habituated user. These individuals that are ruling these HOAs and governing them are in many cases very ill people, and I've seen it, and you've seen it. And we walk into an HOA meeting, and they are there in this quite Hitleristic attitude of, you will do what I say or I will take your home. And I've had it said to me.
Yeah, I've had people call me up absolutely hysterical and frantic. You know, they're telling me they're going to take my home away from me. Can they do that? Well, unfortunately, yes, they can.
Yes. And I have thought, if I, in a perfect movement to this process, if I could get health clinics to branch off and to have a section, have a division to handle homeowners and homeowner illness, I think we would see great strides, because many people are going to clinics because of stress-related disorders.
Yes.
Where is the stress coming from? Well, I'm working too hard. Or my boss is, he's this. But what they're not saying is, I'm stressed because of my homeowners association. So it's not identified. But I can assure you, if we begin to identify this illness in the medical environment, they're going to be enormous numbers here. And it would be very difficult for the federal government to turn its back and say, oh, well, you know, we're not going to do anything.
How do we get that out on the table? How do we get people to realize that the reason they're sick
is because of the stress caused by their HOA. And how do we get medical doctors and psychiatrists to list it as a cause of disease?
In my opinion, the way to do this is to be able to gather the statistics, of which we have none, and be able to go to state and federal government and say, look what this is costing us in medical treatment. Lost time at work, medications, family counseling, various problems and disorders, mistakes in the home that have in turn broken a leg or caused an accident. If these numbers were aggregated and put into the face of people with power, they would say, we're spending more money than we're making on HOAs. Let's stop it.
We have organizations such as, and I'm going to just use the Institute for Justice and their legal organization. They take on some of the lawsuits and some of the problems and take it on. It doesn't, I mean, they'll raise funds somehow, but it doesn't cost their clients anything. Is there a way of getting something like that in the medical field? I'm not aware of anything other than charitable medical organizations that will take care of you, but is there some way that we could start an organization that would only take care of people who have got diseases that are related to stress?
We have to start collecting the data. And I myself have tried to alter some of the questionnaires that one fills out at an intake into a doctor's office. We've all filled them out. They are remarkable because as many doctors as we go to, we fill out different questionnaires. But those questionnaires never include stress related to your home living or your home environment or your homeowners association. So I've made those calls. No one wants to alter the form. Too much trouble, too much hassle. I don't want to do it. Let someone else do it. So,
do they understand what's at stake here?
Right. I don't think they do. I don't think that anybody truly imagines what's at stake. They've yet to see the hard numbers. And look, Shu, we've got hard numbers on other kinds of problems and issues in the world. And we don't do anything about them either because we're so overwhelmed. We don't know which thing to not do first. And remarkably, and this isn't one of my favorite expressions, but this one's a no-brainer. Don't do it. Don't drink the water. Oh, you mean if I don't drink the water, I won't get sick? That's right. You won't get sick. But you do it anyway. Now, federal government's real good at that one. They immediately get on the air and they pull all the bad water off the shelves. They pull all the diseased food off the shelves. It's a quick one.
Sometimes, unless there's a lot of money in it for them.
Yeah. But this one, you never hear a word about it. You never hear that. At least I've never heard that the federal government stepped in and put a stop to what the people are doing, closed down the show. Nothing. All in the name of, it's out of my jurisdiction. I don't have control of this. And, of course, the big one, this is not my problem.
Unless you live in one of these things, in which case it is. Or if you don't, then someone you know does. It's so insidious out there that even if you don't live in one, you know people who do.
Yes, you have to know people. I don't believe that there's anybody, unless they're living on another planet, who doesn't have someone come to them and talk about their HOA. Fellow work, fellow employees, all around us, all the time, you have to know. And yet, It is cover the mouth, cover the eyes, cover the ears, the three monkeys. I don't hear it. I don't see it. I don't talk about it.
One of the problems, I think, is that we discovered early on when I first started getting involved in all of this, before there were this many associations, before they had as much power as they have, and before you had the mainstream media and the internet and everybody's out there talking about it, back when nobody really realized what was going on, we started looking. We went to court and we started looking for people who had been sued or had sued their HOAs. And yeah, we went and talked to them and we found them. And they were really upset. They did not want, and they were, first of all, they were embarrassed that people knew about it. They didn't want their friends and family to know. They were ashamed of it.
Yes.
They thought something had happened. You know, they did something wrong, that they were terrible neighbors and criminals and, you know, keep it right. Quiet. Don't talk about it. Of course,
so
now.
Let's go back in the conversation. It's not my intent to offend any of your listeners. What I just heard you say is, don't tell anybody that I'm a Jew. Now, I am a Jew, but there are times and places to this day and back then that they were embarrassed to be because of what it led to.
Yes.
So keep it a secret.
Yes. Yes, and you can't do that. I think what I got earlier, and I'm taking notes here when I talk to you, one of the things that popped into my mind was that the HOA system, the entire concept, is a very sick concept.
Yes. Because
you've got people who are sick, mentally deranged, who are on the board, and you have, and what they're doing, they're making their neighbors sick.
Yes.
So the whole thing is, I mean, it's a sick concept.
In my work, Crisis in America, I spend several sections just talking about stress-related illness. I gave everybody the scientific background.
Yes.
This just isn't something I pulled out of the air. All over the world, there are studies done on this, and I included those studies. And what I end up with is, yeah, well, not me. I'm stronger than that.
Wrong. 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 You're not immortal and you're not stronger than that either. You're going to get zapped.
And I've talked to the elderly people about their estates and what they want to pass on in inheritance. And I've asked them to protect themselves because that's being taken from them,
yes,
nickeled and dimed, out of their worth in their house, because of a garage door or a window or a spot on the lawn or it's $10 here, $50 there, $500 there. Now you multiply that all over the country, every moment of every day, and what you've got is people inheriting less than what they would have received had this not have happened. I refer to this as wealth management. This is not a new word. This is not a new concept. This is a kind of wealth management that the government has put into the hands of unlicensed, uneducated, uncontrolled individuals who can do anything they want.
I read an article recently about an association where money was embezzled. And
yes,
most of the residents are seniors on fixed incomes. And to make up, there was something like $28 left in the accounts. That's all they had left. But in order for the association to continue doing what it was supposed to be doing, the
the seniors who are on fixed incomes had to come up with an additional $100 or so a month to build up the operating budget, to build up the reserves account. They don't have that kind of money. I mean, some seniors have done well and they have a lot of money and it's not a problem, but some people are just squeaking by barely on what they have.
Right.
And these people are being asked to cover the embezzlement. Where's the government? Where is the government? Why don't they do something about it?
And this enormous monitoring entity referred to as the IRS. And boy, you better file your taxes, and boy, you better pay, because boy, we're coming after you. But there is no one who monitors this on even a local level, in spite of the fact that I have tried. I've met with government individuals, and I've said, you've got to go in and monitor. You've got to see an accounting. No, it's not our area.
It's a civil matter.
This is another time in the history of the world, certainly of the United States, where it's going to be too little, too late. And we've had it happen before. We tend to forget the past, but we've had it before. And I could name tragedy after tragedy and tell you that they went in and they did something after the disaster, not before. And we refer to this kind of thinking as being reactive versus proactive. Let me use New Orleans as an example. We've known for years that dike was bad, that
yes.
The dam was bad, that the walls, we've known for years. And they kept saying, you have to do something.
Right.
Well, now it breaks, and now the news media jumps on and says, we should have done something about this.
Well, actually, Gary, to go back to New Orleans, apparently, and it was Bill Clinton who sent the Army Corps of Engineers in there to build up the dike to protect the city from, anything that could happen with Lake Pontchartrain. Local environmentalists decided that they didn't want anyone mucking about with that because they thought that there was some microorganism in Lake Pontchartrain that would be harmed. They went to court. The judge agreed with them and stopped them from building up the levee.
Mm. Well, it's the first time I've heard that. It's very interesting. I'll look into it.
And, yeah, they were not allowed to build up the levee. And so to save a microorganism from potential distinction was, was to leave it alone. And what they did was they destroyed a city and they killed a lot of people.
Yes.
So sometimes people try to do something, and I'm sure the environmentalists had the best of intentions, but through their actions and the judge's bad judgment, a lot of people were hurt.
You may recall my most recent effort here, and that was the paper I did on child abuse.
Yes.
Yes. And I laid it out succinctly and clearly. And I thought, here's something that people have no tolerance for, child abuse. That's something that they'll jump on the bandwagon with. That's something that they'll put a stop to. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And did you hear the frustration in my voice?
Oh, Absolutely. I know how hard you've worked, and I know how much of your time and your money that you have devoted to this, and I applaud you, which is why I think you're one of my favorite people, because you're giving of yourself. You're trying to change something that you know is really, really wrong, and yet trying to get it across and into people's thick skulls is probably the most frustrating thing on earth. I mean, I've had people look at me and smile, you don't really mean that. That's not really what happens, is it? Yes.
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 Yeah. You're delusional.
And don't come to me if, you know, if you get zapped with it. But.
Right. Right. And then, again, I go back and I talk to you and I say to people, but you don't understand. You're paying for this through your medical benefits and bills. You're paying again for what you're denying that you don't want to see. Oh, well, it's not that bad.
The government will take care of us, won't it?
That's right.
The government will take care of us. Happy days.
How about being proactive and not letting it happen?
You know,
but I have been able to stop it.
You know, I was just thinking about this little boy and his barbecue, and I don't know what that will do to him, Gary. I don't know. But we've come down with all of these ridiculous things in schools that we can't do this and we can't do that and we can't do the other. And so we're raising a generation of dumbed down people. Yet when kids are really being abused and really being harassed and abused in HOAs, we're doing nothing.
Yes.
We're doing nothing.
I can tell you that in some of the studies, I'll be a bit esoteric, some of the studies show that there's intent in doing this because this supports the creation of the working class. That as a result of higher education and the push to get more and more education, we need more blue-collar laborers. And so keeping them tied down, keeping them sick, can be part of a motive. Very difficult to prove. Just a theory.
Wow. That's an incredible theory, and I think you may be right. I've always wondered, because I did not go to school in this country, and I was horrified when I watched my daughter go through school. And it was so, I mean, she didn't really learn much of anything. She took, 3, 4, 5 years of French, 3 years of French. And at the end of 3 years, she could not string together one sentence. At the end of 3 years or at the end of any course that we took, we had a cumulative exam, and we had better pass it. Her
right.
exam was tasting French pastry.
I make no secret of the fact that I was illiterate until I was 15 years old. And I've struggled my whole life to get out of that illiteracy. And part of my battle has been to stop it. So I became a college professor, and I became multiple degreed, and so on and so forth. And it's not a pleasant life to not be able to string, to use your word, a series of words together and form a set. And it keeps people under other people's thumb.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at you. I printed your HOA expert witness page, and I'm looking at all the degrees you have over here. AA, BA, MPH, MSW, PhD, PhD. And it just keeps going. You've got 2 PhDs. So it's hard to believe that you were ever illiterate, but
I've had that reaction too.
For someone, so you overcame that. You overcame.
I can, but I can tell you, I still struggle with it today. There are moments when I cannot spell a particular word.
Oh, I can't either.
and I get frustrated by that. But for the most part, I've learned to overcome it and practice. But for a long time, I could not communicate in writing.
I have 2 books that I'm supposed to be writing. and I just cannot sit down and get started on writing it. I just hate writing.
Yep.
And it's something I have to overcome. It's something I'm going to have to deal with and do it before I die. But I heard a speech the other day about someone who had all these problems and how he pretty much overcame them. And one of the things he said in his speech was that he loved autocorrect.
Yes, I agree.
But I go back and read what I wrote and I'm going, wait a minute, what happened here? Autocorrect just changed the meaning of everything I wrote.
Yes, I hear you.
So I'm going, I love autocorrect. Out of here. But so he's got 2 degrees in engineering and he's doing okay and he's doing fine.
Right.
But if you live in an HOA and you're just scared of your own shadow, because you and I both know and we've heard from people who are scared of their own shadows. They hide, they lock the door, they refuse to answer the door, they refuse to get the mail, they refuse to answer the phone, they keep the shades pulled down, and they just don't want anyone to know they're there.
And a giant thumb over their children, who in turn, by proxy, are receiving the abuse.
Yeah, well, yes. And if they have children at home, those children are suffering. And if they're on their own, then their lives are miserable.
Yes.
But stop being afraid of your own shadows, guys. It's your life. It's your home.
I wish it were that simple to just say stop. But
fight back. Fight back. Protect your property. Protect your home. Protect your sanity. Protect your health.
Yes. I agree with you 100%, hands down. Getting people to do it. Getting people to follow through. I'll start with a series of counseling sessions with people, and within a matter of weeks, they're gone. They're looking for a quick fix, and I can't do it for them.
So, I don't know, how do you convince people that they do need to fight back? And the other thing, too, is there's strength in numbers. So, if your neighbor is being hounded and harassed, don't turn your back on them, because you'll be next.
Yeah.
Every time people have come together, and every time people have stood together, they have won.
You've heard me talk about the infrastructure.
Yes.
And when I wrote that piece, I went back in time and I studied who had brought up the points about infrastructure. And so in the last 8 years, Obama's done it quite often. But prior to that, I could only find one piece where Bill Clinton mentions it. And prior to that, no one. Now, we know that we're in serious trouble here. We know this to be true. And yet, no one wants to do anything. My hope is, what do we do? My hope is to get someone with the power of the president to get on the air and make a statement to the people. We've got a problem. We need to stop this. And it needs to be stopped now, and here's how. And I've offered a solution. The problem is that the solution does not put money into the pockets of individuals who want to go into wealth management.
Every time I drive on our roads, I think of you, because they are full of potholes. They were patched, the road that I take. You'll love this one, Gary. The road that I take to come to the studio to do the show is called one of the roads I take is called Prosperity Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a two-lane road going through some nice houses, some older houses. I mean, there's no HOA there. And the road is full of potholes. And last year, they came back, and it was last fall. It wasn't that long ago. They came back, and they blocked the road, and so getting to the studio was kind of rough because we had to wait, and you had to wait for a flagman to do. And they filled the potholes, and within a couple of weeks, the holes reappeared. So they finally came back and did some patchwork. They didn't do the whole street. They did some patchwork. A few months later, that street is full of potholes again.
Yeah.
So the garages love it because they've got all these realignment problems they need to fix. So we're creating wealth for them.
Yeah.
But no, every time I drive through there, I think, oh, Gary's right. Here's some of the infrastructure that's just crumbling right in front of us, right under our feet.
Right. And occasionally we hear over the national news a particular bridge gave way and killed five people.
Yeah.
And we've been saying over and over again the bridge was down. But now the media's on it. And now who let this happen? We tried to stop this from happening. We worked hard to stop this from happening. But they don't want to do anything until it's too late. Reactive versus proactive.
Well, the media's been particularly bad. I've been looking at some of the news reports, and I know for a fact that the information they're giving is totally wrong. And yet they continue doing it. They seem to have absolutely no pride in their work. They're more interested in manipulating the news, creating
yep.
their own news, and not telling the truth.
Yes.
And they do yep. that nationally, internationally, locally. It's like, where do you guys get this from?
Mm-hmm.
They're just really, really awful.
Living the lie.
Yeah,
and
why do they do that? Why do they do that?
And I would associate it, again, with part of the sickness, that we become sicker and sicker and sicker, and we live in the lie to survive. I see it in court cases. I'm astounded at the things that come out of people's mouths. I know they're lying. I know they're lying because I'm part of the case. But they can look at the judge and say without any hesitation whatever they want.
Well, sometimes the judge is a little too smart for them. I've told this story a number of times on this show, and there was one attorney representing the HOA who was trying to defend her client by saying that the document, the governing documents, the declaration is a living document, Your Honor. You don't have to take it verbatim. And I thought the judge was going to dive over the bench and go straight for her throat. But she said, how dare you say that? It's not a living document. How can you say that? That is, you know, you just don't veer from that.
Right.
Gary, good luck with all of this. I hope people start listening to you. I don't know if there's an agency and at the federal level that is concerned about the money. I think if we stop withholding taxes, I don't know.
I keep trying and you keep trying and there are people like us that keep trying. But it's frustrating.
And we'll be back on to talk about it, Gary, because you and I are not giving up, right?
That's right. We're going to fight the good fight.
Absolutely. And maybe we ought to start identifying the whole HOA concept as a sick concept.
That's right.
That's it. Thank you so much, Gary.
You are welcome.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to Justice 4HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.